hold it down low.
Me. I'm just right. with you.
Hey, man, who's that weird friend you're talking to? I don't know.
G.I. Joe.
Did you see the,
pork chop sandwiches?
The Family Guy with G.I. Jose?
No, is that recent?
It's a new episode. I forget the episode was, but it was hilarious. Because it was like some Mexican dude, and he was talking about doing something. I think it was like claiming shit or something. And
hey, man, I'm a computer. Por favor, stop all the downloading.
G.I. Jose.
I'm a computer.
Stop all the downloading.
Yeah, stop all the downloading.
Stop all the downloading. You need to stop playing around with all the clowns and the wanksters. Good girls gotta get down with the gangsters. Go ahead, girl, put some back and some makeup on it. While I stand up in the background and check up. Happy Easter. It is Sunday, March 23, 2008. It's Easter, and it feels like it's coming early this year. Happy Easter to those who celebrate it, and happy non-Easter to those who don't. I'm your host for the Try Gibbs.net podcast. This is Austin's, a.k.a. Mr. Chupon, and I'm here with my usual troop of ladies. We've got the antipode Alfred.
Dominus.
And we've got the porpoise whale, Tony.
Listen, he died for everybody's sins except the Jews.
Oh, and that's why Ethan is taking a hiatus from the podcast.
And so is my wife. Where's my wife?
Oh!
Oh. Bitch.
Oh, my God.
Couldn't wait for that one, could you?
So it's episode 85. There's a lot of there are a lot of actually good discussion topics in the news, so we don't have a main topic. That seems to be happening a lot lately for the past years. Past half year, so we haven't done a topic because the news has been full of them. But one thing the news does not have is what we have been playing. What have you been playing, Tony?
Nothing!
Really?
Yeah, really.
Works that...
The working man.
Yeah, I just started work, and I'm studying for a test, so...
Oh, I thought you took the test already. I'm sorry, I forgot.
No.
Well, good luck. Oh, it's in May. Okay.
Yeah.
Alright, so then Tony has been playing Test. Alright, Al, what you been playing then?
I've been playing Phoenix Wright Trials and Tribulations. I finished the second case. Like I said before, those dudes deserve an Emmy. Well done writing. And very, very immersive character development. Not even like development, just like lovable characters. He really feels good.
Oh, sorry.
Keep going.
Let's keep on going.
I've been playing Smash Brothers when I could, but I was actually on a business trip for 2 days, so I didn't really get to play anything.
Tarrytown.
Yeah, and played some WoW, and got good items Friday night.
Yay!
Pretty good.
Did you get your sword?
What?
Oh, are you actually gonna buy the sword now?
No, I'm not gonna buy the sword.
No, I meant did he find that sword in the game?
Oh,
sword, you can't find that sword in the game. That sword belongs to like one of the most evil characters in the game.
So you should rob him. Be like, yo, what's up? What's up, son? Yo, break. You go up to him with your gun
that's
and be
exactly
like,
exactly how the game works.
Break yourself. Break yourself. Okay. I'm a computer.
Your goddamn number.
Maybe I'll do that.
Stop all the downloading.
When the next expansion comes out, because he's not actually in the game available.
World of Warcraft South Central. Break yourself! Give me that sword, son.
The fuck?
Let's move on to what you've been playing. Like.
No, because I haven't been playing anything much. I don't know. I've been playing the same Phoenix Wright that you were playing for the past 7 years before you moved on to the third one, so it's not worth talking about. except that Maximilian character is a little bit, you know... absolutely
no,
fantastic. I know it is, but, you know, still, it's very scary. Anyway, anyone who doesn't know what I'm talking about, I'm not going to explain it so I don't spoil it.
Objection!
But this game is a lot, like, to me, it's a lot harder than the first one, and the first case is really long for the first case. I remember what you said a year ago about, you know, him having amnesia. going into that first case, and I thought it was a really, really crappy plot device to try to make you, like, you know,
learn how to play.
Yeah, I really hate those things. I just hate them. They're so forced and contrived and stupid. But like the rest of the case itself was great. Like especially for the first case, because you know the first case in the first game is kind of like, oh, okay, this is how I play it. Okay, this is kind of easy. But this one is like long and drawn out, and you know it's pretty good that way. Anyway, so besides that, Edu Buccaneer of Brazilian fame came over yesterday. He's in the United States. He went to visit the GameSpot offices. Got to see Brad Shoemaker say his goodbyes, which is in a news story that we'll talk about soon. He got to go to Blizzard, where he met Jeff Green and James Milkey of 1UP.com, and he also met former GameSpot editor Bob Koleko, who's now working on PR at Blizzard on StarCraft II. And he came over, and we were playing Rock Band for a little bit. He looked very enthusiastic while playing his guitar part, as you can probably see in some of the videos that we'll be posting soon. Very enthusiastic, so enthusiastic that he actually looked at the screen. In other words, he just stayed on the couch and kind of slouched. And we also played a little bit of Clubhouse Games, where one of the best bowling simulations I've ever played in my entire life. It was a piece of crap. In fact, if we were doing a bag of shit this week, that game would be the bag of shit. The bowling, not the whole game, because the game itself is good, but the bowling in the game is a bag of shit. And well, basically, you imagine touchscreen bowling. You touch the ball with, like, you know, the stylus, and you just kind of flick up. I sucked so bad at it; it kept on going to the right or the left. Like immediately after it hit the lane, it would swerve into the gutter.
Oh.
And I think the only...
No, it would be more like careen.
Maybe careen, yeah. It would kind of careen.
That's a better word.
Careen! But I decided to, you know, be an asshole, and I started playing Rock Band drums while we were playing bowling because I was so tired and avoided it. And the only time that I was able to, you know, get some good hits was when I was playing the drums and they were like, it's your turn, and I paused really quickly, picked up the DS, took my finger, and just randomly flicked it. And I got like a 9-pin hit. Randomly. So I'm just like, this has very little rhyme or reason, when in truth it probably has a lot of rhyme or reason and I just am not paying attention. I hate it. Anyway, what else have I been playing? Not much. I think that's it. Just been Phoenix Wright. And I'm supposed to be playing Shirin the Wanderer, which is a roguelike RPG for DS, but it hasn't arrived in the mail yet. So on the off chance that Justin Calvert from GameSpot is listening to this, it just hasn't arrived yet. Otherwise I would have started it. Sorry, I'll get on it soon. And for all you assholes on the forum saying, it's taking so long to review the game, bite my balls. Thank you.
That must hurt.
Huh?
That must hurt.
Yeah. Well, it'll hurt more for them than me, because, you know, whatever.
Yeah, because they're going, yeah, right.
Tony, what you been playing?
What?
And we're moving on. We're at the news. News.
Fuck.
There's this... You all right there, buddy?
Better, motherfucker.
There was a game that came out that Al is incredibly spermy over that sold a lot. It sounds like a lot of people bought it, I think. I can't remember. Al, why don't you read the story? I can't remember it. It sold a little bit, I think.
Is it relatively new?
I kind of... Can. Let's see if we can do this.
Oh, that's right, because your compooper can't do it. Okay, fine, I'll read it. Super Smash Brothers Brawl smashes Nintendo sales records. Thanks for that headline, Chris Kohler from GameLife.com. We know Super Smash Brothers was going to be big, but not this big. The long-anticipated Wii game is now the fastest-selling game in Nintendo of America's history. Nintendo said today that it sold over 1.4 million copies of Brawl in its first week of availability, including around 875,000 copies on the day of release.
Wow.
That's a rate of 120 copies of Brawl every minute.
I was one of them. Well,
Super Smash Bros. Melee, the biggest selling title on the Nintendo GameCube, moved 7 million units worldwide over its lifetime. Brawl should surpass that easily. probably right around the same time it ships in Europe later this year, because I think in Japan it's already sold like 79,000 million kajillion hojillion. So
actually, I think it kind of dropped down a little bit in the rankings as the weeks went on. Well, I mean, it only went up in January 31st. So
yeah, but I mean, like, I think like the initial sales was big enough so that 7 million was within reach.
Yeah,
that's what I meant. So
definitely.
So yes, if anybody plays Brawl, feel free to send us your friend codes, and Al will kick your ass ceremoniously, as he is wont to do, even though I actually managed to win two games yesterday.
Yeah, that shit was funny.
Cream! I think Ness is going to be my new character, because even though I like Link more, Ness I seem to do better at. Anybody who plays Smash Brothers, that little stupid-ass move that he has when you press up and B, that little homing laser thing. Who was I doing that to? Amon yesterday?
Yeah.
He was falling from the sky, and I kept on juggling him with the stupid thing, and he was trying to avoid it. That was pretty funny. And I just happened to keep on hitting him with it. But, yeah, and then the baseball bat's always a good weapon. So, yes. On that note, though, I probably won't buy Brawl for a long time, only because I've got such a big backlog, so feel free to play Al instead.
If I actually have the time to, because, you know, I work during the prime times.
Green! Next, ESA battles games as porn bill. This is just ridiculous. This is from Game Life, again, by Ernest Cavalli. Massachusetts House Bill 1423, which uses much of the same legal language that prevents minors from buying pornography. To restrict the sale of video games is, quote, too vague. According to the Entertainment Software Association Senior Vice President Gail Markles, during Tuesday's hearing on the bill, Markles also pointed out that similar attempts by states to mandate a rating system on games have, quote, been struck down as unconstitutional by 9 federal courts in the past 6 years. Undeterred, Larry Mays, a supporter of 1423's key proponent, Boston Mayor Tom Menino, pointed out several researchers who have found a correlation between such games and aggression, as well as many M-rated games which award players for shooting people, raping women, or setting people on fire.
I gotta find this game, man.
Yeah,
what game is that?
Where's Rape Simulator 2000? Yeah. I want to find that shit. Wow.
Virtual Rape.
Rape City.
My virtual tennis.
Does anybody know what the original suit says about, like what is it? What is the language that it talks about? Where is the actual bill?
God, probably, I don't know. Wasn't it like Massachusetts or something?
Yeah, it was in Massachusetts. They're all racist anyway over there.
Bastin.
I hate everybody except... Anyway, I'm not going to go there. Let's see, I'm trying to find what the actual bill is, but in the meantime, can you tell me about this rape game that we're all hearing so much about?
I'm looking for it myself. I think it's on the black market, but the politicians seem to have the key links to that shit. They're like, yeah, man, come on, let's get this rape game on.
Shit.
At least Fitzo's probably, like, all over that. Talking about, yeah, man, I gotta go and get my hose on in this rape game.
In this rape game.
I hate Grand Theft Auto, but I love this rape game.
Yeah. Here we go. This is also from Game Life. The Massachusetts legislature is scheduled to hold a hearing Tuesday to discuss House Bill 1423, which would restrict the sale of certain games to minor. Oh, it just says using the same rationale that prevents young people from buying pornography. Violence in a manner patently offensive to prevailing standards in the adult community, harmful to minors, lacks serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value. BioShock!
Morons.
Well, see, they wouldn't consider that serious, although it completely is because it has relations to Ayn Rand's work.
Right, they don't know anything about this, and that's the problem here. And it's like, it's putting out the double standard. It's like, hey, look, we can put Saw 4 on store shelves. Hell, we can even put Eyes Wide Shut on store shelves.
Eyes Wide Shut.
And which was actually, like, besides the fact that, you know, everybody knew it because it was, like, you know, very, you know, there's a lot of sex in it. It was a horrible movie.
Yeah, well,
terrible, awful.
But, like, yeah, and it doesn't, it, you know, even a horn dog, well, I don't know if a horn dog would agree because all they want is, you know, the little pencil in the sharpener, but...
Yeah, but it's only, like, 3 minutes of that. They have to keep rewinding and saying... The rest of the movie is just, like, complete shit.
Yeah, but, yeah, even that can't be found, like, behind the curtain or anything, and it's just like, well, look, come on. You know, you're talking about a medium that is relatively new. Right, so of course people are going to have troubles coming to coming to grips with it. But at the same time, it's like, again, don't tell me that you can't sell. Don't tell me that I can't sell. I'm trying to think. Gears of War, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But it's perfectly okay for me to sell. I'm trying to think of a really. It's perfectly okay for me to show Rambo in movie theaters. I'm talking about the new Rambo.
Yeah, of course.
I haven't seen it, but I heard that it was really violent.
It is, and I wanted to see it because of that, and I still haven't seen it, unfortunately. Just okay. Like Cloverfield.
Right.
Okay, it'll be on DVD next week.
Really?
No.
That shit comes out. Well, that shit comes out really fast, though. So.
Yeah, it does now. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. We've discussed this so many times over. I just thought, you know, it was newsworthy. So, what do you guys think of this before we move on?
I was gonna say something. And,
something.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say there are a lot of games that are really violent that have, you know, significant literary references, like God of War, which has references to Greek mythology.
It does.
And, you've got what's the other game that I was thinking about? I was just playing it. Another game that has significant. Oh well, there was BioShock that has a literary whatchacallit and stuff. I'm just looking at my list of games that are M-rated. I was gonna say Devil May Cry, but Devil May Cry doesn't have a
no. It doesn't.
Reference.
It has literary references to a shitty story.
Well, obviously, God of War is not actually based on a story,
right?
But it's based
right.
On things
that's
that
what I was gonna say.
You know, you got things that are based on certain obscure and plainly, you know, readily available literary devices.
Hey, you know, actually, while you're suggesting that, I'm sorry to interrupt, but this just popped into my mind. There's a game from Majesco called Raise as Hell for the Xbox, which from what I've heard, it's a decent game, not a great game, but it's decent, it's fun. But it's like, it's basically analogous to the Iraq War and George Bush's, you know, leadership of it.
Really?
It's what I've heard is that, you know, it's a... I don't know the storyline anymore. I used to when I was reading reviews about it, but if you play it, like they tried to make it like kind of a spoof on the whole situation over in Iraq. So it's like, yeah, they could be political too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say that although this isn't an M-rated game, a lot of Final Fantasy games draw upon Norse mythology,
right?
And there's a whole bunch of shit written about that.
Well, the other thing is that like on the whole literary topic, like. I'll agree that a lot of these games, no, they don't have, even if they do draw upon, like God of War, for example, even though God of War draws upon mythology, it doesn't make it literary. It doesn't.
But it can inspire you to read. That's
maybe, but maybe, maybe. Not. I mean, I don't even think, I don't necessarily buy that because people just like the game and they'll play it, because especially because it's totally false in the mythology. Maybe some people will be interested. I understand what you're saying. I don't think that's the case. But what I'm saying is that a lot of books, a lot of great novels that sell, a lot of great movies that sell, okay, aren't necessarily intelligent. You know what I mean? It's not – they don't add that much value. They're just great pieces of work, you know, and it should just stand as that. They're great pieces of entertainment where things are done well. The cinematography is done well. It's shot well. It's,
well,
you know –
you got the major word right there, entertainment.
Right, and that's what this
entertainment
is.
Entertainment doesn't have to be intellectual.
Right. But if it's well done and if it's tasteful, which a lot of games are, and some games aren't, but whatever. Again, it's entertainment. I mean, who the fuck is going to argue that The Fast and the Furious is such a wonderfully put-together movie? But, you know, they don't – well, okay, that's a bad example because people don't lose their heads in it. But I'm trying to find –
I live my life a quarter mile at a time.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? I got a car.
I'm a computer. I'm a computer. I'm a downloading.
Okay, any Tom Clancy novel, okay?
Uh-huh.
But not some of them. Some of them are political, okay, I'm sure, and then some of them aren't. Some of them are just, you know, stories, and then they weave a story around it. I mean, you're going to tell me that, you know, if you're going to consider Tom Clancy's novels not political or not whatever, then you're going to tell me that, you know, I mean, if you're going to consider them political, and then you're going to tell me that the Splinter Cell games and the Rainbow Six games and all those games that he puts his name on aren't. So it's, you know, it's stupid. Anyway, did I interrupt you for a second time, Al?
For killing people in Rainbow Six, no, you don't. And you get, well, what if for killing people in Splinter Cell, no, you don't?
Yeah. Oh. Anyway, so, yeah, that's. I'm gonna develop a massive hemorrhage, so I'm just gonna get off this topic. Anything, Tony, or move on?
Oh no, we're moving on.
Move on. So, back to game releases. Our favorite and your favorite, Too Human, was supposed to come out in 2 months, right?
Yeah, supposed to come out in like 1997.
It's actually supposed to come out in
1994.
They did us a solid, and they, you know, made it for next gen consoles to make it kind of pretty and cool. So it was supposed to come out last year. Didn't come out last year. It was delayed till, quarter 1, 2008, where a lot of people told me, you're wrong, it's going to come out, you just wait and see. Well, I waited and saw, and I did see that it was coming out in May of 08, which is in two months, which is not quarter 1 of 2008.
Quarter 2.
Yeah, it's quarter 2.
Quarter 3.
But wait a second, what's this from Kotaku? Wait, it's a news story about its release. Did it get delayed again? Michael McWhorter says, Too Human now unofficially dated for August.
What the fuck?
Is that
this
Q3?
Doesn't have date on it.
Is that Q3? Yeah, that's Q3. That's two Qs after the original Q1 date. I wonder why. True, Too Human for Xbox 360 hasn't been yet given an official release date by Silicon Knight or Microsoft Game Studios. However, when we last heard GameStop shipping department, May was to be the month. But head Dennis Dyack isn't afraid of delays, so we wouldn't be surprised if this was pushed back a bit more. In fact, that's what retailer GameStop just did, putting a new estimated time of arrival on Too Human for August. It's yet another placeholder date, but generally these things are moved around for a reason. So the game may just need extra polish. So, while it's temporary, and while temporariness means that, hey, on sheer luck, maybe, just maybe, it'll come out earlier than the date, most likely it won't. So anybody who's been waiting for Too Human, you can wait a bit longer. And you know what? While I'm going to laugh about it, but at the same time, as long as it's a good game and it's worth these delays, fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, according to Dennis Dyack, it is.
Yeah, according to him, it is. Of course, it has to be according to him. I like what I see, and I do want to play it. I'm just afraid of the people who kind of had this in their mind, and it was like, okay, I think we'll give it a shot, and then it keeps on getting delayed, and then it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. So, on it. People want to play your thing, so.
I hope for one thing, that when it actually does have a date and it actually is going to come out, that they have this, like, world-ending marketing blitz. Because they got to let motherfuckers know that this game is ready.
Yeah, yeah.
They should be doing it now. I mean, like, you know.
No, don't do it now.
No, not now.
And then people are like, oh, yes, this game is coming out, yeah! And they're like, now it's unofficially dated for December. And that's going to piss people off.
They should, you know, I mean, Microsoft Game Studios, I'm hoping that they do due diligence and do a good marketing job with this, so, but, yeah, I mean, like you don't want to push it and then be like, yeah, 5 months from now. Oh, okay. And, like, I just hope that they have enough, like, Gears of War 2, I think, is in November.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for their own sake, I hope they just stick to this August date.
But, yeah, you don't want to compete against Gears of War 2.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I thought was funny?
Yeah.
Like, taking the id Software route, it'd be funny if they had this big-ass commercial, like, all these wonderful, like, CG graphics and shit and all that stuff. Like, Too Human, when it's done.
When it's done. When it's done. All right, next up, something that's near and dear to all of our hearts. The Japanese Army, this is just something, it's not really news, but it's something that I pulled out because it sounded interesting to me. This is an article on Gamasutra, and it's called The Japanese RPG Primer, The Essential 20. And basically, it's a little article on what they think the essential 20 Japanese RPGs you should play. This is pretty interesting. Well, I haven't read this, and I don't think you guys have either, so we can explore this together.
Sure.
So, let's see.
My first time.
Hey, stop all the browsing. I don't know if this is in order, but...
For NES sock.
Let's see. So I don't know if this is an order, but this is the first one that comes up. The first one, they say, Valkyrie Profile for the PlayStation 1. Agree? Okay. Disagree? Thoughts?
Well, you gave it a good thumbs up, so I'm inclined to believe that.
I really like this game. I think it's kind of niche because the way that the game progresses, it's very possible that you can fail at it. You can spend a couple of hours or a lot of hours, and if you don't build up your stuff the right way, it'll be game over. Which could be frustrating for some people, and I totally understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I just happen to enjoy it a lot, and I kind of feel like this is... They did that intentionally, and I'm, you know, I don't think that just because you do something on purpose that makes it a good thing. So, mm-hmm. and I have yet to experience this, so we'll see what happens. But so far, you know, what I played of it back on the PlayStation 1 and then again on the PSG, I loved it all. Yeah, the story is kind of scattered, and you know, it's kind of the translation could use a little bit of a touch up, and this whole, you know, game over mechanic before half the game's over might be a turn off to some people, but you know what I've been playing of it is great, and you know I got it for $20, thanks Al, because you picked it up for me.
Yeah, holidays.
Yeah, so but yeah, I mean, if you can get this on the PSP, because the PlayStation 1 version is really rare now.
Yeah, I have it.
I mean, give it a shot. At the very least, give it a shot. I agree with this selection in their list.
I just want to bring up a point when you finish a part of this article, which is my major contention with the game.
Yeah.
But you can finish what you're saying.
Oh, that's it. I'm done. I was waiting for your thoughts.
Okay. My thoughts about this game is that this game is wonderful, but it's very, very kind of complex if you don't understand how it works. And this is how
yes,
it works.
Agreed.
Exactly
yes, agreed.
How it works, and I love this description. The entire game is divided into 8 chapters.
Is this in the article? Are you reading it
from the article?
Okay.
In turn, each chapter is divided into a number of segments. Every time you visit a town or dungeon, it eats up one time segment, therefore limiting the amount of places you can visit and the events you can witness in that chapter. It becomes important to budget your time, but the game is so loosely designed that it's easy to miss important things if you're not paying attention. Similarly, at the end of the chapter, you need to send off some of your warriors to the heavens, permanently removing them from your party. You're given vague hints about the requirements, but you can never be sure that you're doing it properly, especially when it could potentially leave you with an underpowered squad. That's partially, like, where I still, after all these years, I mean, I haven't really played the game to its completion, but that's what confused me. I didn't feel like I was really doing it and understanding what I was doing.
Yeah,
it would tell you, okay, you need to send off 3 people, and these qualities are the qualities that you need so that we can win this war in the heavens. And I'm like, I think I'm doing this right, but I kind of need this guy. But maybe I'll get somebody who's good in the next chapter. And it was very confusing. But if you want to, if you're committed to dedicating the time to it, I think it becomes very rewarding.
It's very grindy, and I don't want to say that in a bad way, because a lot of grinding in RPGs is just, oh, whatever. But it's not that bad, because this RPG is like quasi-action, sort of.
Yeah, with all the interaction that you can do.
Yeah, in the battle. So it's grindy because you have to do a lot of the same things over to gain strength, but the battles are always interesting. But yeah, it's very, like I said, it's very niche. It's very, and I'm going to hate to bring this word up, it's very hardcore, so to speak.
Yeah, that's what they say in the article too.
But you know, if you enjoy that stuff, yeah, this is like one of those things that this is at the extreme end of the spectrum, where it's like, if you're totally into JRPGs, play this one. Any more remarks, or should we move on to the next entry?
Let's move on to the next one.
Now, I don't know if they are counting all of these three as one entry, which would be completely stupid, or if they're saying 3 entries in one article, but they cite Final Fantasy 4, 6, and 7. Right off the bat, I definitely agree. Everybody knows that. Well, people who know me know that I don't think that highly of 7. I enjoyed it. I think it's full of holes, but it did so much for the genre.
Exactly.
Yeah, you definitely need to see what it did. I mean, today it looks like crap, but you got to realize that back in 1997, 98?
That was 97.
97.
Yeah, 97.
What it did, and how it pushed the PlayStation, and how it pushed like RPGs into the mainstream. I mean, besides the fact that a whole bunch of people returned the game because they're like, I didn't know it was reading in it. Because because like the commercials were all CG graphics, and everything was all impressive. And then when they found out that it was this type of game, they returned it. But that didn't stop the rest of the people who ended up enjoying it from playing it and saying, you know what, this is an interesting type of game. I've never played this before. Wow, I would like to play more of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, we can discuss it another time. There's actually a really good podcast on 1UP.com about Final Fantasy VII, where, you know, there's one guy, Shane Bettenhausen, who's the one who told the story about how people returned the game because they couldn't read. He loves it, and he was defending it, and Jeremy Parrish, you know, has a lot of problems with it, and he was... he was talking about the flaws in it, and so it was basically a debate between the two, and it was very interesting, and it was actually, a lot of good points came up both for and against, what was very dumb.
returning the game because of the reading.
Yeah.
Like, and not only that, not the fact that they totally fucking put this whole fucking stereotype of Barrett, you know, being an ignorant, dumb, black mother. I'm just fucked up. Like, yo, my ass, he talked like a fucking retard. You know, just by reading it, you could see that he was like an uneducated slob. Yeah. And everybody else was like, hey, Cloud, do you want to do this? He was like, yeah, I want this shit. Like a fucking retard. Oh, my God.
I wonder if he had a voice. Would he sound like you? I got a gun for an arm.
That's my impression of him all the time. I actually had a character name for him once, you know, because you could change your name. So I'm like, you know, Tifa's D-Cups. Cloud is like fucking Mr. Ace.
Is Barrett like stereotype or token or something?
Well, you know, Tifa's tits are unusually big and
No, I know. I'm talking about Barrett. What'd you name him?
Oh, Barrett? Dumbass. Total dumbass. That was my name for him, Dumbass. And that was the actual playing name. So whenever I needed to pull out Dumbass, you know, and get him leveled up, I was like, oh, man, I got to level up Dumbass.
Yeah, the localization team, you know, everyone, it needs a rework. I would like to see a remake of Final Fantasy VII actually at this point now. Like, first of all, I think that there's a market for it, and if people are going to buy it, they should make it. Second of all, I think they could make it so that I actually think it's a good game. And when I say that, I'm exaggerating. I enjoyed it again.
But what would you change?
I would make each character more unique so that when you level up the materia, it's not just like, hey, look, I can level up my materia, and then when I take it off this character, he's completely useless, and I'll give it to someone else, and I'll make this other completely useless character into someone so awesome just because I gave him this one stone. Like in Final Fantasy VI, like when you level up and stuff, like a lot of the stuff that your characters learn is stuff that they'll learn. They learn it, and then it becomes part of the character. Even though it started going down the path of everybody can learn everything, which is probably what led to this. Like in 7, it's just like it's all. I don't feel like each character is unique, especially when you get to the point where it's like you only have 3 characters in the battle, and that's okay. Right. But the way that they have the system set up is just it makes it so like everybody's the same thing, and I felt the same way about Final Fantasy VIII as well. You know, everyone was it depended on the Guardian Force, and that's it. You know, and that I guess that's kind of why I like Final Fantasy X, even though you guys hate it. Like, I like it because, you know, they're 3 characters, yeah, but they feel different because each has his own abilities. And when you're moving stuff on the sphere grid, you really get the sense of uniqueness. And you can I like the way that you can switch them in and out. And, you know, it kind of adds this element to it. And I'm going off into a tangent that I shouldn't be going on to because it was Tony's bag of shit. So I'm going to move back to Final Fantasy VII.
I got a secret for you.
Yes. What is it?
Keep this between us.
Final you mean Fantasy. Between us and everybody on the podcast?
No, they're not going to listen to this part. You're going to wait. I told them not to. All right. So.
All right, everybody, don't listen to this part. Tony's going to confess his love for this game.
That game sucked.
You love Danzig.
Danzig.
Mother. But yes, and then Final Fantasy 4 and 6. I think. As far as I go, Final Fantasy IV, I think we did that one episode where we talked about the game that kind of changed the way we looked at games. Final Fantasy IV was mine, you know, basically. And so, of course, I'm going to agree with that.
I thought 6 was yours.
4 was the way – no. 6 was my favorite, but 4 is the one that made me change the way I looked at the genre.
Okay.
And then 6, obviously, is my favorite game, so I'm going to agree with this. But I want to open the floor to you guys.
What about Phantasy Star?
But, well, we'll probably get to that later in the list. But
okay. Yeah, right, I'm looking at it now, and I'm like, yeah, baby.
you guys, Final Fantasy 4, 6, and 7, what are your thoughts on those?
4.
What?
Oh, wait, Final Fantasy.
No, I'm asking, like, what do you guys think of those choices? I mean...
Oh, yeah, no, they're good. Well, I can't really speak about the earlier ones, because my first one, the one that popped my cherry and just totally raped me, was 7. And 7 was just, like, the stepping stone to, like... every Final Fantasy afterwards, except for the preceding ones. I never played any of them, you know, and I think it's kind of tarnished for me because I started with 7.
Right.
And 7, I think it was an amazing game, and it's awesome, and, you know, I don't know if I can go back to the old ones. But if you're saying they're great, I'm going to have to try them at some point.
They're better. Well, some of them are better. Some of them are better. Some of them haven't aged to, like, Final Fantasy 1 for the NES that got re-released on Game Boy Advance. It's fun, but it's fun. That's about it. That's all you can say. It's just fun.
It's fun, but
and
it's
two,
fun.
Oh, Al could tell you all about 2.
I could.
Yeah. You hated that thing.
No, I didn't hate it.
I thought strongly were, like, opposed to it.
No, I played that game through once.
I think that must be someone else then. Sorry.
And I wouldn't mind playing through it again. It's just that all the memories of what I had to do the first time I played through it, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
I like it. It's just hard to recommend to other people.
Right.
Because of the skill-based leveling as opposed to experience point.
Right.
But just to close this page out, I just want to take a little excerpt out of this article, which is how I feel about these games. Says, just going in the middle of this, actually, no, let's not go in the middle of this. Final Fantasy has always walked the very thin line between casual and hardcore gaming styles. The idea is that casual gamers will be attracted to the narrative and characters, while the hardcore will find some crazy customization or battle aspect to figure out. Some of them tilt in one direction more than the others. Final Fantasy V, 8, and 12 offer hardcore gameplay systems, while 10 emphasizes story. These three entries, 4, 6, and 7, are the most balanced between the two aspects, which is probably why they're so widely pleasing. That's how I feel.
Okay, that makes sense why they didn't include the others, because I was going to say that they really, really should have included either 5 or 12, at the very least, with that list, because even though I haven't played 12, everything that I've read about it and the way that Tony talks about it and like all the gameplay systems that I've read about 12, I should be in there. And 5, there's, you know, the more and more that I play it, although it doesn't affect me as much, I'm so on the edge of saying that maybe it's the best one gameplay-wise of the entire series that I've played up until 12, because I haven't played 12 yet. Just from the way that you can customize all the jobs and stuff. 6 is still definitely a lot better, in my opinion, because I like it more. But 5, there's so much about 5 that people miss because it didn't come to America the first time. And it's like, I don't know. I really think they should just include the franchise if they're going to include that, you know? They should include the franchise and be like, except for Final Fantasy II. And Mystic Quest, even though that's not part of it. Here's the next one is Xenogears. I don't know how I feel about this one. Did either of you play Xenogears?
Did pass like the first 4 hours of it, and then I lost the disc. I still need the first disc, which I have no idea where I'm going to get.
Well, here's what they said. In PR speak, the word epic means really, really long. That term seems a bit misused, especially when 60 hours of gameplay can tend to be monotonous grinding and empty wandering. Not so with Xenogears, a sci-fi story. It's one of the few JRPGs that could actually qualify as being an epic, just to the astounding amount of detail that's been written into the game world. I have mixed feelings about this game. I like it. I was intrigued by the story before it got all confusing and stupid and typically anime, which is to say just convoluted for the sake of being convoluted, which is the same problem with Final Fantasy VII. The gameplay I liked a lot. Well, some of the gameplay I liked a lot, but then it went on for too long. I'm still not done with it, and I can't bring myself to finish because I just don't care anymore. It went on too long. There are platforming aspects which really annoyed me, and sometimes like I really didn't get a kick out of the mech battles because you get into this big mech and all that stuff, and then it's basically masturbatory. It's so self-indulgent. It just goes on and on and on just because it wants to hear itself talk. It's an important game, I think, in Japanese RPGs, but approach it with mixed. Approach it with caution, I would say. I really did enjoy a lot of it, but at some point I was just like, you know what, it's just time to move on. Other games have done what this is doing better. So, but the next one I think we can all agree on. Well, maybe
wait.
Oh, what?
I have
what,
to
what,
give
what,
my
what?
Obligatory.
Oh, I forgot you did play it. Sorry.
Caption of the of I'm gonna be the one who brings the one caption out of every article.
Okay.
My caption this time for this game is a memory of mine. Xenogears, in the meantime, had the infamous Disc 2.
Oh.
You guys haven't played it up to Disc 2, have you?
Okay, should I spoil it?
No, I'm going to spoil it. After the first CD is completed, this is straight from the article, the second CD puts the concept of player control, quote-unquote, out to pasture. Instead, the main characters narrate the story in dreary, slow-moving text, only occasionally allowing the player to explore a dungeon or fight a battle. I was there for the start of this, too, for a friend of mine.
Okay.
And all it is, like, 15 minutes, it's just Lei Fang just talking. And Fei Fong, I'm sorry.
No, but you know what's even worse?
Huh?
Instead of it, like, narrating and showing cutscenes while they're narrating and showing scenery, it's him sitting in a chair against a black backdrop.
I was going to say that, man. Oh.
Yeah, but I had to play through it, so I have to say it, because I played through it and I suffered. It's like
I watched it.
And that goes on for how long?
Like 15-20 minutes.
Like all the sequences, they go on for a long time, and then you explore some more of the story, and then it keeps on going, and you explore more of the story, and then it goes back, and then you explore. It's like it goes back and forth. You know what this is like? I don't know if anybody has seen this anime, and I was only paying half attention when I was watching it in college. I don't even know how to freaking pronounce it right, but it's a popular one. It's Neon Genesis Evangelion, whatever, however the hell you pronounce it.
You just kind of said it.
That's the right way to say it? Okay.
Yeah.
And like it goes. Well, first of all, it mixes, like, really humorous episodes with really dark episodes, which kind of threw me off. And then, like, the last two or three episodes, all I remember is the same type of thing. They're talking against, like, a black backdrop, and they're just talking. And I could be wrong, because I'm not an anime freak, so I don't, like, pay close attention to, like, every series and, like, go back and rewatch it, so I don't know. Anybody who watched the series, please verify whether or not I'm just crazy. But that it's the same thing. And the art, like, the art style and, like, the fact that you get into mechs and everything, and it talks about God and all that shit. It's Xenogears is, like, the video game incarnate of that anime, so.
Actually, I think it's Evangelion.
Evangelion?
Yeah.
Evangelion. Okay, there it is.
Evangelion.
Evangelion.
Yeah. Okay. Evangelion. Or Galleon. Whatever.
The G is silent.
Next game.
The G is silent. Oh, I thought you said
Evangelion.
Evangelion. Stop by downloading. All right, so the next one is Chrono Trigger. And hands down, yes. Absolutely.
You guys are crazy.
Have you even played it?
Just kidding.
You and your Final Fantasy VII. No. But Chrono Trigger.
Oh, by the way, Final Fantasy XII is on this list.
Oh, good. Okay, so it comes later.
Yeah.
Okay. Chrono Trigger, Al, you want to talk about this? Because I think this is going to go over long if we keep on.
Well, you just do something. I'm going to find my obligatory part.
Quote, okay. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, Chrono Trigger, it basically, for me, I think, and this could be an inaccurate assessment, but the way that the game is built, I feel like this is the first game that kind of dipped into the casual, where Squaresoft was like, all right, let's make it a little bit easier. Let's simplify things, you know, like, in Final Fantasy VI, like, several different characters could use several different types of weapons. In this one, it's only one weapon per character. You know what you get. You know where to equip it. And you don't have to worry about, like, trading and not having this character have the strongest weapon when the other one has a weak one because they all use different ones. Like, they only use one per character. And then, you know, we're not going to overload you with all these magic spells. You only get, like, maybe 10 per character that they use and only they can use. And then let's add in this really cool combo system where you can do double and triple spells, which will look awesome. And then let's simplify the world map so that it's kind of like Super Mario World, where you don't have to go into random battles. And you only go into battles when you go into certain areas, and the areas you can see the enemy, so you can avoid them. And let's just make the experience just more relaxed overall. That's how I felt about the game. Well, initially, the first time I played it, I liked it a lot, but I was like, this is too easy, kind of. And then later I grew to appreciate what it did. And it didn't really do the whole time-traveling thing terribly. Like, it didn't try to go crazy with it, you know. It kept it simple, and it kept it effective. And I think, you could go to the last boss at any point in time within the last couple of hours, right, Al?
Yeah, once you get to a certain part.
You could just go straight to the last boss at any time, like, right then and there, or you could go and get more side quests. Although that's a trait of many Square RPGs, so I shouldn't really pimp that one. But I think the most significant one was the battles, the dual and triple techs, and that, I mean, I don't know, it's just really, really relaxed, I feel. And I mean, maybe that's not the way that other people feel about it, but that's just what hit me the most about it, you know. And where's your caption? Out with the caption.
This is what hit me the most about the game. Pretty much the entire game is a series of climaxes, one after another after another. It's also quite...
Triple orgasm!
It's also quite compelling to see how the relatively small game world changes in all different time periods. Near the game's end, a handful of subquests really show off how cool it is to amend the mistakes of the past to change the future. That is what I loved about this game, because it gave me that Back to the Future feeling.
And you know,
you go back in time, you fix something, go back, go to the future, and hey, look, everything's good.
Yeah. And you know what I like the most about the time travel is that they didn't fuck it up. Like, one of my favorite franchises of all time in the movie world is Terminator. But mm-hmm. that movie should, well, that paradox should technically be impossible.
Exactly.
I don't think there's anything like that in Chrono Trigger. There's no unexplainable stupid things. I mean, it gets hokey, yeah, but there's nothing like, oh yeah, the main character can't exist, you know, because his mother didn't go back in time and screw a monster and then have, you know what I mean? I don't know. I'm just talking about
like Geralt.
Geralt, you know, so it doesn't mess it up like that. But I think let's go through the rest of the list really quickly. Shadow Hearts Covenant, have not played it. I have the sequel to it. I've heard a lot of good things about it. Mm-hmm. The next one is Persona 3. I heard so many good things about this game, and I can't wait to start it. I actually have Persona 2 for PlayStation 1, and I haven't started that either. Shin Megami Tensei, Nocturne. A lot of these, you're probably going to see a lot of these come from Atlas. And oh, God.
Rob has Nocturne. He loves that game.
Okay. I believe Persona and Shin Megami Tensei are from the same family. One's a spinoff from the other. But Final Fantasy VIII,
mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm trolling here when I say this, but I would take this off that list. Like, when you compare it to the rest of them, just, oh, God. I hate this game.
Why? I mean, it could be essential as a what not to do. Let's see.
Yeah, maybe, but I hate this game.
Because it says that the very first sentence is, like, gamers are very familiar with the game's many quirks and failings, but... yes, he's an unlikable jerk, and his romance with Winona is not quite believable, considering it's meant to be the crux of the game.
I actually like the funniest thing is that I actually like the story. I do. Like, that's the only thing that kept me playing the game. All the while, I was sitting there cursing myself, saying, the story is great, but this is such a horrible game. This is terrible. I hate having to go through this, you know? So it's like, It epitomized that point, and I was talking about Final Fantasy VII, where like all the characters don't feel unique in battle when you use them. So, I don't know. Whatever. People can have it. Whatever.
Basically, what they're talking about is the reason why this is essential is because of the junction system. And the sentence here is, there are so many JRPG conventions that Square deliciously twist that it's almost like relearning how to approach the genre.
It doesn't mean
at the core of this is junction, which allows you to use your spells, blah, blah, blah. And it, because it completely, they say, it completely shatters the concept of RPG equipment. And magic use has been completely reimagined because of drawing, which is really dull.
Downloads dull, you know, from the enemy duck.
That's my thing. Like, and magic is everywhere. All you need to do is draw from the creature. Of course, the dynamics completely depend on the enemies of the area. If they possess fire magic, healing magic, blah, blah, blah. Drawing is weak.
Yeah, it is.
That's just me.
I don't know, man. I'm with you, and I'm totally against this post. It doesn't mean that it's good. If it's not good, I'm not all for having it in the list. Like, yeah, Final Fantasy, they could use the same thing as saying that Final Fantasy VII revolutionized presentation. Like, it was good at the time. I think it was good at the time, the way the Final Fantasy VII did the presentation. I don't ever think that drawing was ever good, period. I don't care how innovative it was. It just wasn't good. Ugh! Hate it. Earthbound. Never played it.
Earthbound is on there?
Yep, Earthbound's on there.
Earthbound is a game that really is worth playing. I just wish that they game for fucking Virtual Console. Get to re-release in the Nintendo game with that patch, because, you know, some fan group actually translated it. They call it Earthbound Zero.
Yeah.
And they need to bring out Mother 3. They need to bring out those three games, and they will make a lot of money.
They'll make a lot of money, but I think they'll satisfy the people who deserve to be satisfied.
Yeah. And, you know, that I think it's mean. I think it's mean that they would do something like, release information, release characters from a game that they have not released in America. You know, like for Smash Brothers, they have like Ness. Yeah. It's like, yeah, Ness is in.
Like, where is he from? Why is he in this game?
Right. Well, no, that is only because if you never played Earthbound, you wouldn't know. And Earthbound.
Right. No, Earthbound is in America. Duh, I'm super. But I have a question. Yeah. How much have you played this? Because I will say that even though I didn't play it, I sampled it for about an hour.
I got about halfway through, and okay. Rob got all the way through.
Because I was playing it for an hour, and it felt like I didn't see anything special about it. Like and again, this is me after playing it for an hour. I'm not going to judge it, mm-hmm. but I'm just wondering.
But I think you did.
Because I haven't seen anything. No, I haven't seen anything past the first hour, and I didn't see anything special about it yet. So I'm asking you, like, when does it? What does it have that I should keep playing?
It's quirky. It's a really cool, quirky kind of plot device and everything like that. The gameplay is, you know, standard. It's your standard old school, like
okay.
They say in this thing. It says it's an unabashed Dragon Quest clone, right down to the squat mini characters and the first person viewpoint on the battlefield. And if you're not really into that Dragon Quest style of gameplay, then you might not be able to get past that first hour still. But what really is about the game is what is really like the Detroit of game is it's they say right here. Yet Earthbound succeeds almost entirely because it's something so rare in gaming, a parody.
Okay, I see.
It's a very quirky game.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely want to get on that. Hopefully they release it on Virtual Console, because or maybe during my hunt today in Chinatown with Edgar Buccaneer, I can find a copy of the SNES version. Wow. I still have a working SNES.
It's pretty funny. So with all of its tragically melodramatic plot devices and absurd coming-of-age stories, the JRPG genre is ripe for hilarity. Yet few
That's
games
true.
Outside of some fan-made games like the near-brilliant Barukuri Shut Up and Jam Gaiden.
Barukuri!
Ever seem to try it.
Oh, man. Okay, the next one is Grandia. That's another one that I haven't got past hour one.
Me neither. I couldn't get past the intro.
Final Fantasy
It was way too kiddy.
Oh.
And not quirky enough.
Oh.
But it's supposed to become very epic, which, you know, is still the reason why I still have the game. Like, one day I will probably just be like, okay, I'm going to stomach all this. Hi, can I go to Sally's house? All right, thanks.
Like shorts.
Well, no,
no,
I
that's
like
different.
Completely different.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I like shorts. It's just one line. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I can still beat his Pokemon.
I want to be the trainer of the world.
Oh, God.
Final Fantasy XII is also on that list, and Tony's talked
That's
at length
right.
about that game. I like, even though I haven't played it, just from what I read, I would say
you
yes.
You should play
entry.
It.
I have it. I'm gonna get to it at some point soon. Dragon Quest V.
Austin, let me know when you break into it, and I'll break into mine, and we'll like try and play it together. So.
Okay. Dragon Quest V, have not played it. If anyone has any words on this, please let us know, because it's a Japanese game.
Yeah.
But I can't wait for it to come to the States. Panzer Dragoon Saga.
Ooh, PDS.
Now have you played it, Al?
I know someone who has it.
Okay. Oh, that guy must be a rich motherfucker.
No, he got it when it came out.
Right, but I mean, he's going to be rich if he holds on to that thing.
Oh, yeah, he's not going to give it to nobody.
I'm about to scream.
Let's see, the next one.
Yeah, I'm about to scream.
Final Fantasy X. I'll put it on there. I'm keeping it on there. Skies of Arcadia. Al, you played through that. What's the hook in this game?
Let's see if I can find it in here, because Skies of Arcadia was a tough game to swallow.
In a bad way, or was it just niche?
No, it just for me, it felt like it was way too long and drawn out.
Okay.
It's better than Quest 64.
Fight that I was into. About love stuff.
I think everything is better than Quest 64.
Quest 64 with the worst RPG ever.
Had the greatest hairstyle with the little.
Oh, dinners. God, yeah. Alfalfa, please.
Alta.
And no generic dungeon, no faceless town. Blah, blah, blah. Pirates.
Arr!
Yeah, I'm not really into a game about pirates. So
the hook is the pirates and the airships.
Chrono Cross.
Yes. Chrono Cross, a lot of people. This is another polarizing game. I feel like people regard this similarly to Final Fantasy VIII. I could be wrong, but that's how I feel. It feels that way. But I don't know. This game really grabbed me. Somehow there was something about it that I just, you know, it hit me hard, and it was for the longest time. it was a contender for my favorite RPG. You know, it was kind of like throwing punches at Final Fantasy VI. I've since come to grips with the flaws in the game, such as like the fact that a lot of the characters, there are 44 characters you can get, but you don't care about 90% of them. They don't develop them at all. The tech system from Chrono Trigger was greatly missed. I mean, they have some combinations, but they're so rare.
I think you have to like beat the game in order to really get them.
Yeah, they're so rare, and it was just disappointing that you don't get them. The story also gets kind of convoluted for its own good, but I kind of understood it. I understood it better. But there are a lot of things that happen to a lot of the characters that, you know, I become attached to in the story that, you know, that kind of didn't hit me the first time I played it. I didn't care that it was convoluted because I was concentrating on the characters. Now it's kind of like, you know, yeah, if you go to GameFAQs and read the Chrono Cross story fac, you read it from beginning to end, and you're like, oh my god, what the fuck? How did he get all this from the game? But yeah, I still enjoyed playing it. I love the battle system. I like how they took Final Fantasy VIII's concept of, yeah, magic is no longer unique. It's just a commodity, but they changed it up so that it was more challenging. I like how this handled that concept. I don't like how Final Fantasy VIII handled it. You know?
Yeah, need to play this game again.
Yeah, so I really, and of course the nostalgia kind of hit me too. Like the links back to Chrono Trigger. And yes, I am a victim of nostalgia with this game, but I really liked it. I gave it a 10, I think, when I reviewed, maybe a 9, I don't know. When I used to submit reader reviews to RPGGamer.com, I think I gave it a 10, which is a mistake. But it was definitely a mistake. But I really, you know, if at the very least, you know, if I play it today and it's terrible, it'll still like kind of have a place in my heart. You know, that's how it kind of hit me. And then here we go with well, actually, before I go on, Al, words about Chrono Cross.
The my obligatory excerpt.
Oh, you could do the excerpt too. Excerpt too, yeah.
Oh, because I'm sorry, I was busy trying to find it. I didn't even hear what you said. Sorry.
Okay.
What'd you say?
I said, go ahead.
Any comment?
Just any words, yeah.
Oh, well, I don't really remember this game anymore because it's been kind of blurred in the... The only thing I really remember about this game is, let's see, running from a giant dragon that was a boss and being able to do that without any problems. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, that too. That was a flaw.
I remember not understanding the end of the game and how to get actually like the good ending.
Bebop. Yeah.
I also remember hiding this game from someone so that they wouldn't spam it and beat it, like, what, because I was roommates with someone. And
is it Moochie?
Yeah, and he would play the game. He would play, like, any of my games.
And
like,
then tell you about
RPGs.
It.
Like, no, he would just play them, and every time I would wake up at, like, 4 o'clock in the morning, he'd be playing it, like, 15 hours ahead of anybody else. And he would spoil games for me, so I had to hide this one because it was kind of important. Kind of ironic that I don't remember much about
it. Did he ever see you playing it and say, hey, where'd it go?
No. He never knew that I had it until like one point when I just kind of like took it out and I was like, all right, I don't want you playing this game.
Yeah.
That was the game that I don't mind with him, you know, that he's going to stop playing my games.
Okay, so Tony, did you ever play Chrono Cross?
No, never.
Okay. Well, then we'll move on to the next one, Phantasy Star, The End of the Millennium. Speak.
Part 4.
Speak, gentle Phantasy Star fans.
Nobody ever played this game. Let's move on.
What? You ever played Phantasy Star 4?
Just kidding, dude.
I know. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Man?
Yeah, the Phantasy Star 4 is quite possibly one of the best RPGs. Quite possibly. It should have been higher on the list, I think.
Well,
I don't think this is
in order of how essential it is. It's just like order of.
They're just putting it in random order.
Thought about it.
Yeah.
Well, even if it is random, it should be ahead of fucking Final Fantasy X. Fucking piece of shit game.
Okay, go on. Talk about it. Maybe try that.
Whatchamacallit? Final Fantasy.
Fantasy
Star 4 was. It was very fast-paced. It was, the music was just kick-ass on a game.
Especially for a Genesis game.
Yeah, and it was just, like, not like the other parts. Like, Part 2 was really ridiculously unbalanced in that even if you get to a high level, you still get your ass kicked.
It's balanced, right?
Yeah, this one is very, very balanced. I mean, if you grind long enough, you are going to be better than the monsters in a certain area. Okay? It's not like you keep on grinding, and you're getting your ass kicked. You know, and
I'm level 99, I died.
Exactly. I'm level 50, which was the top for Phantasy Star 2. Okay. Yeah, Phantasy Star 2 was the top, 50 was the top, and then you're like, okay, so I'm ready to take on the boss. No. Get your ass kicked before you meet him.
I remember playing this game for about a good, I played a good 5 hours into the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember, I'm ashamed to admit that I don't remember any of it, but
really?
I just remember, I don't know what it was about it, maybe it was the fact that it was fast-paced and you know, it moved really quickly, but I was enjoying it so much, like, I enjoyed the combat the most.
Very good.
Out of all the aspects of the game, I enjoyed the combat the most. But I also just like the locations and the dungeons and the levels that you went through.
Mm-hmm.
I just like the vistas and I don't know. I just liked it. You know, I liked the experience that it gave me. It didn't sit there and throw endless dialogue at me. It gave me enough of a story, but it let me play enough of it. And didn't it have those scenes where like it was like a comic book panel?
Yeah, well,
Yeah. So, I hope they release it on virtual console so that I can start playing it again. It's one of those games that I regret being a Nintendo fanboy back in the day and stupid Nintendo, Genesis sucks! You know, I regret, this is one of the games that made me most regret that because from when I played of it, I was just like, wow, I missed out on a lot. So,
it's a great game.
And I'm just embarrassed that I don't remember more of it, so.
Yeah.
Thank
God 3 wasn't on this fucking list. 3.
They even have a line about that.
It was just not what you expected out of Phantasy Star.
It had a great fucking idea. You know, three different storylines, three generations.
I'm willing to give it a shot. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah. I mean, but like, somehow, there's something missing from that game.
Right.
You know, this game has it all, though.
Anybody who subscribes to GameTap, Phantasy Star 1, 2, 3, and 4 are available. So.
Wait.
Technically, that's how I'm gonna actually. I don't need. I think I need to wait for it to come out on virtual console. I'll just start it on GameTap.
Yeah. You'll not be. You won't be upset.
Yeah.
It's great.
I remember I mentioned I started Phantasy Star 1 on GameTap, and it was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
And you said, oh well, Al actually had it on what was it, Game Boy, and it crashed.
Yeah.
When you tried to save.
Yeah, Game Boy. Yeah. He's like, let's not talk about it. To finish off this list so we can finish off the news, Breath of Fire, Dragon Quarter, I haven't played it. I'm not a fan of the Breath of Fire series at large, but I heard Dragon Quarter kind of revolutionized it, the series itself. Mm-hmm. Let me find a telling sentence about it.
It feels like a spiritual successor to Vagrant Story.
Ah, both feature dark, oppressive atmospheres, long segments of dungeon crawling, and minimal NPC interaction. Unrelentingly unfriendly to newcomers. Actually, I kind of like that idea. I might play this. Where the game diverges with its battle system. Unlike most traditional RPGs, the battle segments play out like a tactical strategy RPG, allowing your... Okay, so it basically changed up what Breath of Fire did with the battles and the dungeon crawl aspect. So it sounds like... they did mention Vagrant Story, so I wonder if it's later in this list. But before we get to
the list...
Oh, that's a shame.
But one of the games that you mentioned is...
We'll get to that. Suikoden 2. Yep. Al, a few words about that before we move to the last one.
Wonderfully wonderful tale.
Wonderfully wonderful. Foolishly foolish.
Tale. Anyway, Suikoden 2 is like...
8 hours long.
I mean, if you thought Suikoden 1 was a good game just in terms of the amount of characters that are involved and the interactions and the ability to... change the course of the story because of your progress. Suikoden 2 kind of does that in spades. It does that, and on top of that, has a very a very engaging tale of friendship and how alliance and allegiances can break a friendship and affect it. I wouldn't say break it, but affect it basically.
Right.
Because the whole story is basically about these two kids who were on the same army, and one disappeared only to be found on the enemy side. And
this is part of the intro, right? It's not a spoiler.
Yeah, it's not a spoiler.
Okay.
And basically, it's about how it's the story of those two guys and how their paths based on what happened in the beginning of the story. Basically, what happened in the beginning of the story was that they found these two runes, and the two runes are destined to clash, and that created their destiny.
So one has one, and the other one has the other. I got
right.
It. Okay.
One has, I think it was like the shiny, the bright star or something like that, and the other one was like the, I don't know what it was. One was like healing, and the other one was more like damage, and it was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful story and tale, I should say, combined with all of the stuff.
You sound like one certain insane and kind of annoying dude that I know. Just like, oh, it's wonderful, wonderful. It's excellent, excellent, excellent. It's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Well, that's why this game is like probably very sought after. You know, eBay prices are like $150 and crap. Like $80 for some $30 game.
Yeah.
Let's see. Then they're talking about how Super Nintendo 3 sucks, but it was unfairly derided. Super Nintendo 3 is just as strong in the storytelling department, but the gameplay is terrible.
Oh.
Trying to stomach it because I'd like to get through with the story play.
PS2,
4.
Right?
Yeah, PS2.
Okay.
Wow. It said, Another little comment from the thing says, blah, 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 blah. You know, the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful I was talking about. it helps justify, these don't matter. The enthralling tales and intriguing game world help justify the triple-digit figures that Suikoden 2 fetches in the aftermarket. If you can't afford it, Suikoden 5, despite constant and obnoxious load times, is the next best thing, even though the story isn't quite as involving.
Mm.
And the last game
is one that I got mad that they didn't include. Final Fantasy V, very good. Spoke about it at length. Let's move on! Next one. Another GameSpot editor leaves GameSpot. This is one Brad Shoemaker. He was mainly in the previews department. He reviewed some games. He reviewed Shadow of the Colossus for GameSpot, and among other... Metroid Prime 2, I believe, as well. He's got a southern drawl. It's a very, very deep southern voice, and... He's gonna put that to good use. But he gets a lot of ladies, so I hear. That's false. I don't know anything about him. But Frank Provo lists all the people who have gone. Since then, there was Jeff Gerstmann who got fired. There's himself who left in response to that. Alex Navarro left. Ryan Davis left. Jason Ocampo, who was doing the PC reviews, left and became editor-in-chief of the PC section of IGN. And, you know, obviously that's a move that you got to make if you're looking after your career from associate editor, editor-in-chief, you know, hell yeah.
Damn right.
And then Brad Shoemaker is leaving to just kind of enjoy his life for now. So that's about that's six high-profile staffers at GameSpot that are gone. It's kind of sticky there, you know? I mean, they're hurting for people. You know, they need to get people quick. And I'm sure they're doing all they can, but right now, you can imagine that losing six people who wrote reviews for you can have a big impact on your timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody was wondering, why is it taking so long to read a game? Maybe that's why. So, shut up. Anyway, GameStop expects more Wii shortages. Oh, Jesus Christ. And to think that it was selling well, to think that it sold over 500,000 units last month, you'd think that the supply was picking up. But they also expect price drops for the 360 and PS3. What do you guys think about the price drops? Do you think they're going to happen? How much do you think is going to go?
I don't know. I haven't really been paying attention how those two have been selling. I'm pretty sure the PS3 has been picking up in sales, but they're probably still hurting. So they're probably going to have a price drop. Should be logical, but it's probably going to be around the holiday season again, I guess.
I think
in general, our economy is going into shitter anyway, so
yeah.
They're probably thinking, well, people are not going to have money just to buy a fucking game system if they're struggling for rent and shit, so price drop.
That's actually a good point. But imagining for a second that does not happen, like the economy like stays okay, I think that it wouldn't necessarily be, not that it wouldn't be prudent, but like I don't think that Sony would drop the price this year. Mm-hmm. If they did, I don't know. I just can't see them doing it because they just went all through that whole phasing out of the 80 gigabyte system that's going to become rare now. They're going to introduce a 120 gig. And last year they dropped it $100 already. And that's a big price drop. So it's like, you know, this is after year one of its life. This is only year two.
Right.
You know, so that's a second price drop coming so fast. I don't think they would do it. I think Microsoft would do it, and maybe Sony might be inclined to respond. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. You know.
Well, I mean, you say I don't think they would do it. I mean, you know, of course they won't. They don't want to do it, but they might have to. I mean, like just keep in competition, and as I said, like fucking things are tight all over.
Again, aside from the economy, me saying I don't think so means that I don't think they'll have to. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
I don't think they will. Especially because the trend is upwards for PlayStation 3. It outsold the Xbox 360 last month. Or was it a month and a half ago? Or 2 months? Or something. At some point, it started outselling the 360. It's doing. It's still doing okay in Japan. 360 is tanking in Japan. Sony might not feel the need to do it. And again, I think 2008 is going to, like I said, is going to be here because Metal Gear Solid 4 is going to come out. Everybody's going to buy that. And they have a Metal Gear Solid 4 bundle. You know, so
for what?
For PS3.
No, I'm saying no. For what price?
I don't know. I think I heard it was the same price as normal.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but even if it's a little bit more expensive, people are still going to buy that up. People are still going to snatch it up, especially because it comes with like a new color or some shit like that. If people don't have a PS3 yet and Metal Gear Solid 4 comes out, they're going to grab that bundle.
Sure.
So I think I wouldn't be surprised if they drop the price. I just don't think they're going to do it.
I don't think they should, only because they have really good games coming out. They got Grand Theft Auto 4 coming in May. What other games are coming out? Did they release Little Big World yet, or
Little Big Planet? No.
Little Big Planet. Sorry.
Not yet.
Not yet.
I'm not sure when it's due. Al, do you know when it's due?
Mm-mm.
Okay. But yeah, we'll see. We got.
They got
that
Metal Gear. I mean, like I think they got good
prospects.
Oh, and unfortunately, they also have Gran Turismo 5 Prologue or some shit like that.
Instead of the actual Gran Turismo.
Instead of the actual game,
which will come later.
People are gonna buy it because they're like, oh, I'm gonna have Gran Turismo.
Metal Gear. Next topic we will talk at length about. I think maybe later because we're running short on time, but it's a good one. Well, I'll just read a bit. LucasArts say that games don't take advantage of next-gen hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And this is coming from the studio that's making the Star Wars game that has a lot of physics going on with it. So, you know...
Unleashed.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense that they're talking about this. He's basically saying that, like, okay, while a lot of games are pushing the limits of what can be done visually in games, we also wanted to push gameplay to levels that literally could not be done in the previous generation of hardware. They're also coming out with this game called Fracture, which is a third-person or a first-person shooter in which you can alter the terrain of the maps. So you can, like, you can raise huge chunks of earth or lower them or do all this other stuff with it. And this similar thing was done with this game called Red Faction, but that game did it kind of eh. You know, it wasn't that great. So now they're trying to push it to the next level. So, yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, Gears of War, I love Gears of War. I love how it looks. But I still maintain that it could have been done with lesser graphics on any other system.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the game,
yeah,
you could do it on any other system.
It's just a mechanism.
Right.
It's not an actual... gameplay aspect that changes what you do in the game. All it is just, you know, you did it in Cabal for Nintendo. Or you just hit behind a wall and you run through, you know, you can duck under the wall, stand up over the wall, you shoot the guys that are coming from the back of the screen.
Kill
that
switch. Across,
a kill switch, you did it.
But yeah, I mean, hopefully we'll see that come to fruition. Even if not, again, like, I love games as they are. I mean, I think they should be pushing the limits. Otherwise, why'd you make me pay $9,000 for this console? But at the same time, a lot of games are great, and they don't have to push the limits. So, you know.
Well, I got a question for you.
I have an answer.
Is this like a one-up kind of, you know, statement? Like, we know what we're doing with our games. Everybody else is, like, fucking, you know, doing a half-assed job.
I mean, you can interpret it as that. I just honestly think that they're saying, look, we're trying to do this. We wish that other people would do the same thing. I don't see anything wrong with that statement. But, I mean, yeah, of course people can be snarky if they want to. I mean, I wasn't there. I didn't hear how he said it, so.
Uh-huh, sure.
But, and this next one, good for Rock Band owners, the store is finally here. The in-game store. Because what happened before, I'm not sure if you saw it, Tony, but on the Xbox Live Marketplace, like there are game downloads that are listed by game, and you go onto the game downloads and you just scroll through what updates they have. So for Rock Band, you just go to the Rock Band site on Xbox Live, and it just lists all the songs. It just kind of slaps them up there, and you have to scroll through them. They don't have it, they don't have it by category. They don't have it by when it was released. It's hard to tell which ones are packed into another. Mm-hmm. And it's all just, like, it's a mess. So this in-game store finally got released where, you know, it categorizes by new releases, alphabetically by song, or by song packs, and they're going to have albums coming out soon. So it's just a big improvement for those who have been annoyed at the fact that the 360 store is shit, this game. Cool. Al, have you updated your game yet?
No, I haven't put Rock Band in my console since a long time ago. Oh. And I'm still buying shit for the fucking game. Oh. I don't bet.
Okay. This is a good one. Thack Johnson, who bears sneaking similarities to another attorney whose name we won't mention. In fact, he might just be the same person. Florida Supreme Court sanctions him. Awesome. The Florida Supreme Court will no. This is from GamePolitics.com. The Florida Supreme Court will no longer accept anything directly from controversial Miami attorney Thack Johnson.
He's been ostracized.
If Johnson wants to file with the court, he's going to need to hire another lawyer to do it on his behalf. That's the ruling handed down by the court late this morning. As someone who is more familiar with the legal system than I, how much of an inconvenience is this to Thack?
Fucking, it's an embarrassment. You know, plain and simple.
Oh, I mean, I think he's used to being embarrassed. I mean, like, in terms of logistically.
No. I mean, like, this is like the Supreme Court. Everybody that you've ever been in front of, all the judges, they now think of you as a quack. And pretty much they will not listen to you. And if you want to be heard, you have to do it with somebody who's more professional than you are. That's what it comes down to, okay? You're a lawyer. You have to hire a lawyer to speak on your behalf. So any motions that are, you know, that you want to send, any cases that you want to have, like, reheard on, or if you want to appeal, or any, all of that has to be sent through a lawyer.
Right.
Isn't that fucked up? You're a lawyer.
And you can't do it by yourself. That's great.
You are fucked up. Not only that, according to this article, he also has a bar hearing, which means that this decision is in conjunction with their anticipation of being him being disbarred. So, you know, they really are not. This is a fucking kick in the head. All right? This is like everything you've done in your life, you've done so fucked up, we don't acknowledge you.
That's
how bad it is. Okay? Really bad.
That's hilarious. So, Thack, good job, buddy. We love you and hate you so much. And our final... what?
I was just going to say, you can kind of translate this to an actual RPG battle. Florida court cast mute on Jack Thompson. Jack Thompson tries to cast...
Lawsuit.
Okay, lawsuit against GTA and Take Two. And
Jack Thompson muted. Cannot cast not enough mana. Wait. Not enough mana.
No, oh, and that's another thing. Mana drained him.
I know.
Yeah, I think maybe he's going to be disbarred. Not only for the stupid shit that he keeps on bringing up, but like the fact that there was a judgment that said that he cannot bring up any frivolous lawsuits anymore.
Right. Yeah.
And he inadvertently went after Take-Two. He inadvertently went after them, kind of like, I guess, backdoor kind of, but you know what the lawsuit was about? Remember he went to retailers trying to sell BioShock? Manhunt 2. Manhunt 2. They told him, you better not bring up any lawsuits that involve Take-Two, and he was like, okay, I won't go after Take-Two, I'll go after the retailers, and then Take-Two will be involved, anyway, because it's about their game, you know, but I'm not going after Take-Two. What a fucking
douchebag.
douchebag.
If you can read this... You don't need glasses.
Exactly. Hey, listen. When he gets disbarred,
party. we'll have a Rock Band party.
Hell yeah! In his name, and a BioShock party.
Cheney says a Palestinian state long overdue. Wait, wrong subject. Okay, moving on to the last bit of musicals and legalness. Gibson's going crazy.
They're going nuts.
Would someone care to explain the whole Gibson situation?
I think Al will. All
right.
Yeah.
Well, first things first.
Doo-doo-doo-doo.
Gibson, about 10 years ago, they created a patent.
Well, first, America. I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt. First, what, for those who are uninformed, what do they do?
Gibson is a guitar maker.
Okay.
They make Les Pauls that were very rampantly popular in the 90s and SGs that are rampantly popular with the punk people and Flying Vs, which are rampantly popular with the metal people.
Mm-hmm. But not dildos, not the same. Right?
Dildos, no. and so basically, about 10 years ago, when Guitar Freaks came out in Japan, coincidentally, Gibson decided to file a patent for an on-screen musical performance. This on-screen musical performance is now being used in a lawsuit on Activision about Guitar Hero. And according to the first blog by Brian Crescente at Kotaku, Activision, beleaguered of late with Guitar Hero-related lawsuits, went on the offensive today, responding to claims by Gibson that Guitar Hero infringes on a 9-year-old patent for technology to simulate a musical performance. Gibson's lawsuit is a transparent end run around an impartial court that Activision asked on March 11th to rule on patent assertions that Gibson knows have no merit. Our Guitar Hero retailing partners have done nothing wrong. We will confront this and any other efforts by Gibson to wrongfully interfere with Activision's relationship with its customers and its consumers. And as that Activision noted in its filing, Gibson waited 3 years to make its patent allegations, and only did so after it became clear that Activision was not interested in renewing its marketing and support agreement with Gibson. Activision to believe that Gibson's claims are disingenuous and lack any justification. So, yeah, they stopped working with each other. Gibson got mad they weren't making any more money and said, oh, we're going to sue you.
Wow, that comes to fruition. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, we're Gibson. You know, the Guitar Hero's taking our idea. But that's okay, you know, because we're working with them. Eh, Guitar Hero, yay. You know, we were too slow to bring it to market, even though their idea is completely different and awesomer than ours is. But that's cool. They're giving us money for us letting them use our... Hey, wait a second. Wait, are they not working with us anymore? Wait. Shit, we need money. Let's have a lawsuit. Bullshit. It's like,
yep, and after they, decided to sue Activision, and Activision was like, you know, fuck y'all, man, that shit is, throw that shit out. They decided to sue, reluctantly, quote-unquote, the retailers of Guitar Hero products. So they basically probably just decided to sue, like, Walmart and Target and all the other people who sell, like, the guitars and all the other equipment for this game. That's basically
reluctantly
the long and short of it. Gibson publicly fired back, saying that they reluctantly follow suit and they're required to protect intellectual property and will continue to do so against any other person in accordance with the law and its rights. After that, you know, Gibson is just like on a crusade to save their product, which doesn't really need to be saved. But they decided to sue MTV and EA, and as a result, they're suing Harmonix. Why? Well, they filed suit against EA and MTV, according to Michael Rickwater at Kotaku, publisher of Rock Band and parent company of Harmonix, respectively. Doesn't mention Rock Band by name, which happens to use Fender brand guitars and controllers. The suit clearly implicates the EA MTV game's title as violating Gibson's patent for simulating an on-screen musical performance. Harmonix responded by saying that Gibson's patent, filed nearly 10 years ago, required a 3D display, a real musical instrument, and a recording of a concert. Rock Band and Guitar Hero are completely different, not in the vanilla ice baby way.
Oh, gee.
But among
vanilla
other things,
ice baby.
Shut up. Among other things, they are games. They require no headset and use a controller only shaped like a real instrument. It is unfortunate that Gibson unfairly desires to share in the tremendous success enjoyed by the developers of Rock Band and Guitar Hero, said Harmonix, in a statement emailed to Wired.com in an article written by Chris Kohler, a Game Life.
You know what? Speaking of Chris Kohler, we haven't had one from our favorite Game Life editor.
Susan!
Where'd she go?
Maybe she'll come back next week.
By the way, Susan, if you happen to be listening to this and this is your first time, I am not saying that facetiously. I think you're awesome. I just don't know how to pronounce your name, and I'm a complete asshole. That's why I say that like that. So I'm sorry. But yes, Tony, Mr. County Clerk, involved in the legal system. Frivolous or not?
It depends. They might have merit if they actually use something that their patent what they had patented, you know, their invention.
Well, it sounds from the patent. I'm sorry, it's hard to interrupt, but it sounds from the patent that the general concept of a music simulator was what they're mad about. But
specific.
The actual way that they did it,
because it's their intellectual property. I mean, that's what they claim. They're claiming a theft of their a product they created. And what it comes down to is maybe they just want a settlement out of Activision. They want because this unless Gibson is stupid and wants to bring this to trial and hear it, they will take any settlement that Activision can get them. And, you know, and Activision's pretty damn big right now.
Yeah.
They're going to, want to get
this over with. Vivenda Blizz of Activision.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're going to want to get this over with as soon as possible with the least amount of money. I mean, legal fees are going to cost them an extraordinary amount if they want to, see this go to trial. So I think if they make them a nice offer of, say, maybe $1 million.
$1 million.
$1 million.
It'd be great if like Activision folded, but then Harmonix, Viacom, and EA, and then the retailers all was like, you know what? Fuck you guys. Like, well, Activision may have bowed and sucked your balls, but we're gonna fight this. And then they lost.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Are they suing Activision as an entity?
They're suing Activision. Like, they're suing retailers that carried the game, they're suing, and then they're suing Harmonix, Viacom, and Electronic Arts.
Okay,
well, the retailers are going to be dropped.
Yeah, the retailers are going to be dropped.
Oh, well, Harmonix is owned by MTV, that's why. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, the retailers are going to be dropped because they have no claim in stealing Gibson's idea.
Right, they're just selling a product.
Okay, yeah, exactly. So that's just like a scare tactic. Okay, to try to make Activision say, oh, shit, they're stopping our sales production, they're going after the retailers, we got to pull out. No.
I think they've got the whole, well, as long as we can get 1 in 4 mentality out there. Let's sue every person who bought Guitar Hero. Yeah, how about that? Exactly. One of those million people has got to fold. Mm-hmm. But
I think that Activision and them, they should all take the court. And then win, and then force Gibson to pay all their legal fees.
Yeah, shit, that'd be awesome.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's going to take years. I mean, at that point, the person who put up the lawsuit, they might have to incur the legal fees after that. But that's going to take years. And if Gibson is smart, they'll just take any settlement. Anyone. I don't care how much it is.
They'll just tell Blizzard to increase how much is a World of Warcraft subscription per month?
$15.
They'll just tell them to increase it by $1 per month so that they can get like $1 billion extra or however many people are subscribed to World of Warcraft. They're like, okay, this $1 is to pay for our legal fees because, we have enough money and we don't care.
And that's the whole thing. I mean, this might, if it goes to court, this is, unless they want binding arbitration, which is a completely different thing altogether.
What does that mean?
Binding arbitration means that they're not seen by a judge per se, they're seen by a panel of like experts on the subject.
Okay.
And once their ruling is set, it cannot be appealed.
Ah,
whatsoever.
That's interesting.
Okay.
I see.
So Activision might go for binding arbitration and that'll be enough to scare Gibson into going, we'll take a settlement.
Right.
Because if Gibson loses this, they get nothing. They get no legal fees, they get nothing. Okay? Mm-hmm. So and what is Gibson's problem anyway? Weren't they doing fucking good sales with, Guitar Hero? I mean, they introduced their Les Paul. What the fuck?
They were. They're not anymore because the contract expired.
So there's a way to, like, okay, our contract expired. We didn't get the money we thought we would, so you stole our idea. Give us money.
Yeah.
No, they got the money that they expected.
They got the money that they, they're like, wait, you're cutting off a relationship? Wait a second. I want half.
Yeah, dumb.
I want
half. Dumb.
Well,
if people are like, I think this puts like a stain on Gibson, if anything, because it's like,
absolutely.
What is their problem anyway? Are they?
Let me read it. Let me read the patent that Al read it before, but just to reiterate for anyone else who hasn't hasn't absorbed it. And also it directly ties back into your question of what was patented. So Gibson's patent filed nearly 10 years ago, required a three-dimensional display, a real musical instrument, and a recording of a concert. Mm-hmm. Rock Band and Guitar Hero are completely different. Among other things, they are simply games, they require no headset, and they use a controller that is only shaped like a real instrument. So basically, on those three points already, it's completely different. So, is that specific and different enough to make this lawsuit kind of like, what the fuck are you
saying? Well, no, I'll reiterate, this is a definite scare tactic to get some settlement money.
Okay, so you do think that it's frivolous?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. If they go to trial with this, it'll be a miracle. Okay, but, you know, and it's only going to look bad for Gibson. I mean, not only for their consumer base. I mean, the consumer base is, you know, people who play guitars and stuff, and now they, like, stretched out. They made a guitar for Guitar Hero, but it has their Gibson name.
Right.
Which means that game players who want to actually play a real guitar would say, hey, look, you know what? I had a Gibson. Maybe they're, you know, maybe they're great and stuff like that. So, you always get that extra customer, okay, by doing something like this. And by kind of alienating them now, okay, saying that a game producer is just stole our idea.
They'll probably run off to Fender, because Fender's doing the Rock Band
stuff.
So they might run to Fender. Hey, can you do this for us, too? You know? Okay, sure.
Yeah. Fuck Gibson. It's you know what? It kind
fuck
of
Sony. Fuck Gibson.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of comes in the same way as when Metallica sued Napster. Okay, like you know, Metallica, a lot of fans, they really looked at Metallica differently after that. They were like, "Wow, what a bunch of scumbags!" You know, not only because they went after Napster, but they went after the fans who downloaded off of Napster.
I see. I wasn't familiar with that situation.
So, like, and this is kind of the same respect, because they're not only going after Activision, but going after the retailers.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
What's the point of that? I mean, like, there's no reason to even bring them into this. They sell a product, which, by the way, under your contract you made money on, why sue them now?
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's such a fucking, it's a bad move. Terrible, terrible move.
I think they'll see right through that once they're like, we thought of this idea. Well, then why didn't you sue them when they first came out?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's two options right now. I think,
blow and suck.
Well, yeah, exactly, and they're both going to end up with, like, ass-reaming. But, no, they're going to, you know, either Activision is going to settle, which I think it's in their best interest, and I think Gibson should take any amount, okay? Mm-hmm. Or they're going to go to binding arbitration, which Gibson should pull out of immediately and just take the settlement. There's no way this is going to trial.
Pull out, go on the back, put it on the back. Okay. Alrighty, and with that, we will move on to the bag of mail.
Clearing throat.
Susurio.
Come on, hairball.
Susurio.
My balls. Oh, man.
We're at the mailbag, mail. The bag belonging to a male which houses two nuts. So, Supersonic asks, and I'm sorry, but I had to cut your question thing down to two. As I said last week, you had like 70,000 remarks. So, here's some good questions, but they are good questions nonetheless, and I picked out the best ones every week. A couple of old Sprite games are re-released with the aid of digital distribution services like the Xbox Live Arcade and Virtual Console. It's not Virtual Thingy, it's Virtual Console. I always feel like it's going to be a blast playing them again. But when I do, I sometimes walk away with the feeling that those games are a little past their prime. A little. They're like years past their prime. Anyway.
What's funny is you actually answered the question, but go on.
Yeah. And then I just go and play some modern 2D game on Newgrounds or something. Wow. Okay. Do you think that people are more likely to purchase a nostalgic game over a modern arcade game like Space Giraffe? If they do buy the nostalgic game, do you think they would have been happier if they'd gotten the modern game and vice versa? I think he's just saying his own take on it, but he wants our take on it.
Uh-huh.
I think that, personally, I think that nostalgia is a very powerful thing, and
always is.
I think we talked about Frogger last week, right? And Frogger versus, like, something else, because someone said Xbox Live Arcade is full of, quote, shit.
Mm-hmm.
if they have fond memories of something, they're familiar with it, and they're going to immediately go after that. Whereas if there's something unknown, that's the whole concept behind the whole franchise and intellectual property thing with games mm-hmm. today, like Mario and Final Fantasy. I mean, if you go up to a normal person and say, hey, would you like to buy Mario or Zack and Wiki? People are going to be, what the fuck is a Zack and Wiki? Give me Mario. If you go to somebody and say, hey, would you like to play Final Fantasy or Shadow Hearts? What the fuck is a Shadow Heart? I played Final Fantasy way back when I was like 5 years old on the Super Nintendo.
You bastard.
Yeah, I'll take Final Fantasy. You know, so it's to me, I think nostalgia is going to win over mm-hmm. people. And I think while it's good that the old games that deserve the attention are getting, you know, the attention nowadays that they still deserve, it also is kind of sad for the new efforts that, you know, that also deserve some attention. You know, like Space Giraffe, basically, from what I've been seeing, I've been watching a lot of gameplay videos to try to understand it. It's Tempest with weird shit going on in the background. If that's the case,
it's a nostalgic game.
Huh?
It's basically based on a nostalgic game.
Right. So in that case, it's like a question of if Tempest costs less and you're more familiar with Tempest and you know you'll enjoy Tempest, why get a game that's like Tempest if it might mm-hmm. not satisfy you more? So it's slightly different, though, when you're talking about two similar games versus like a game that is totally new and a game that mm-hmm. is just old. But I do think that I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think what you're getting at is the whole like similarity thing. But I invite you to tell us what modern 2D Newgrounds games you're playing, only because I have been out of the Flash game scene for a while because most of them have sucked. So please tell me. I would like to know because I would like to give them the benefit of the doubt. What do you guys think about this whole thing? Yeah.
Well, to kind of chime in with what you said about games that are new and people saying they don't know what it is, exactly when you said game over a modern arcade game like Space Giraffe, I was like, what the fuck is Space Giraffe? So, yeah, that definitely holds and rings true. It's just kind of hard to attach to something that's new unless it clicks with you immediately. And, like, everybody is different. It's going to happen differently with other people. Like, of course, in order for a game to become nostalgic, it had to be new to them in the first place. And you kind of go into, like, a little circle here where it's like, okay, yeah, I'm going to purchase a nostalgic game over a modern arcade game that I don't know about, but I might get a modern arcade game that I want, that I know and familiar with. Because right. of just doing research, because like maybe the name was like, oh wow, this name sounds pretty cool, or I saw a gameplay video somewhere and I'm like, yeah, this is something that I would like. I would go for that over a nostalgic game that may provide the same experience, okay. and then turn that new modern arcade game into my new nostalgia.
Like, right. Okay, pepperoni, cheese.
Crackers. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Guys, excuse me for a second.
Tony, where's a pizza? Pizza,
okay,
pizza, piss man.
Okay, if you see anything good, okay?
Susurio.
Like, oh, Susurio.
If you can. Oh, you know, the instant
Susurio.
One.
It's a never-ending story. No. Never.
Oh, you know what? Don't buy it. Yeah, don't buy it, because I have that. Yeah, okay. And also, what you call it? A1 sticks left. Yeah. All right. So, you call me. Let me know if you have any problem. Okay. Finishing up cast. Okay. Bye.
Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
Goddamn bitch called me from Warbounds. What the fuck?
Thanks for telling us. We actually finished up already.
Okay, that's good because I had nothing.
Well, we gotta get our voices in sync before I end recording. All right. 3, 2. I'm just kidding. So. The second question from Supersonic is, which form of multiplayer do you prefer, Quake style or Counter-Strike style?
Space Giraffe.
This one first. I like Quake style better. And just to explain a little further, just in case anybody is new, mm-hmm. Quake style of multiplayer, I would assume and I will hope I'm correct, is kind of an arena point-based continuous match where you die, you just come right back in. Counter-Strike is round-based,
yep.
Where if you die, you're out until everybody's done, you know, whether goal is completed, whether it's kill everybody or achieve a certain particular goal. I like Quakestyle better because it keeps you in the action more. And if you suck, you know, it's a little more enjoyable if you suck, I think. Because as opposed to sitting out, you know, you start the game, and like you say you make a mistake and you trip on your
headshotted, yeah.
Or you get headshotted and, you know, you're the first one out around the corner and bam, you're dead.
Yeah.
Then you got to sit around and wait. But if you're playing like Quake, like I remember, I mean, this is the beginning of my gameplay style, like when I was playing with a Sidewinder gamepad, 86 at like 3 frames per second, I was having the time of my life playing Quake, getting my ass kicked.
Because you're just running around over and over and over again. Yeah.
Well, not even. It was that I was chugging away. Like, I could see myself walking like Game & Watch, and somebody like running in real time, and then they turn around, and back when we used to play three-wave capture flag, throw a grappling hook up against the ceiling, and then turn around and shoot somebody with a rocket launcher while you're flying up in the air with the grapple.
Oh,
that
shit
used to happen to me all the time because I couldn't see it. But I saw the frame of the person up in the air pointing at me, and I immediately started cracking up laughing. And that was my enjoyment of the game, even though I kind of sucked.
Yeah.
But nice now it is like I'm a little better, and even dying in a Quake-style game, especially like in Quake 3 where you die and like say you're trying to shoot somebody, and that same button is to respawn. So like you see this rocket coming at you, and as soon as it hits you, you respawned already. And that's the type of thing that's really funny to me, so... it's much better than like, oh fuck, I died again. Now I gotta wait for these guys to, you know, do it.
Right.
Well, too bad your ass got.
I actually like. I'm gonna agree with you on which I like better, but I really do like Counter-Strike style a lot because of the tension in every round. And like, look, you don't want to be asked out like in the first 30 seconds of the round. You don't want to be that chump sitting back there. So your ass has to be fucking careful. And it's just like there's a lot more strategy that goes into it because the goal is more immediate because it lasts within just a round, right?
Yep.
So it's more kind of closed in. At the same time, that's also the same reason why I like the Quake style better is because I actually great example, we were playing Smash Brothers yesterday. All right, you know, you're playing for such a long time, and like just because you lose a stock doesn't mean the match is over. You have 5 stocks, so you keep on going. And,
yeah, but that's more like Counter-Strike style, kind of, because...
No, wait, let me finish, though.
All right.
I'm talking about the length, because those matches, like, it lasts... I know it's more like Counter-Strike, because once you're out, you're out, but what I'm saying is that the length of the match, if you can hold your own at the very least, the length of the match to me was what, you know, it's like a basketball game where, like, you know, scores get up into the hundreds, right? Instead of like hockey, where it's like 1 or 2 points, and you can win a game based off of 1 point. Like every point you score counts for very little, but it still all adds up over this very long, drawn out battle. And when you're playing something like Quake, it's a long, drawn out battle over 10 to 15 minutes versus one quick round that could take about 3 minutes. I'm aware that they can take longer, but I'm saying the overall concept of it. You know, Counter-Strike is like, take him down, get the bomb, defuse it, blah, 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 and you're done. Whereas in like let's say Team Deathmatch in Unreal Tournament, you set it to 10 minutes, and it's just fucking all-out ballistic for like 10 straight minutes. You keep respawning, you died once, you come back, and you keep on going. Yeah, sure, the other team's got 22 kills, but you can come back and like surmount like an offensive and just, you know, it just feels like a longer battle as opposed to a quick strike. And I like that better than the quick strike.
Wow.
I guess that's why they call it Counter-Strike.
But I don't know, Al, if that made sense. Like, that's the only reason why I was bringing Smash Brothers into it.
Yeah, no, the only reason why I counted that was because time battle is more like Quake.
It is. I know it is, but I'm saying, like, the sensation of the length of the battle in general that we had yesterday specifically.
Yeah, I guess you would say compare a 5-stock to a 1-stock. And if you had good
right,
people,
right.
You could theoretically be sitting there waiting if you got knocked out or if you fell off the stage early.
Right. Let's see. Next question from Digimatrix. He has two. What? How many video game soundtracks do you have? What are your favorite soundtracks? I think he preceded the question with because we always put an insert into an interlude. It's not all from soundtracks. Some of them are from soundtracks. Some of them are from like I'll grab a clip of gameplay on YouTube, and like they'll have some music in there. So it's not always from soundtracks. I'll find a way to get the sound.
Sometimes you actually play the game.
Yeah, sometimes like I think for Hotel Dusk, what I did was I plugged my DS into my sound card with a headphone jack, and with a male-to-male pin headphone jack. You could anybody who wants to record music off their DS or PSP can actually do that. Find a male-to-male headphone jack, plug one end into your sound card into the microphone jack, and plug the other end into the headphone jack of your DS or PSP. And just know what you're recording because you can't hear it coming out of the PSP speakers. So yeah, that's how I did the Hotel Dusk thing. I opened up my DS, I turned it on, and I recorded the title screen, and that's what I did for Hotel Dusk. I think it was last week's episode. So, so that's how I do some of these things. It's not all from collections. I only have very few discs that I actually imported. I have the Final Fantasy VII soundtrack, the Chrono Cross soundtrack, Final Fantasy Tactics. I a lot of RPG soundtracks, because those end up being like some of the best ones. I think I have. That's all I can remember at this point. I'd have to look. I know I have the Beyond Good and Evil soundtrack, and the Metroid Prime soundtrack. Some of them are like literally like game rips, which are what Al was talking about. You play the game. For Ridge Racer 4, I actually sat down and I went through the sound test and recorded them onto my computer. So like that, I mean, I'll do that. You know, I'll actually sit down like a chump and actually sit there and record all the stuff off of the game. But what about you, Al? What do you have?
I really don't have too much. I have the Street Fighter, collector. No, which one is the one with all the characters? I mean, not all the characters, all the anniversary edition, I think, of Street Fighter...
15th anniversary, right?
15th anniversary, that's what it was.
Okay.
I have that soundtrack. I have the Latin titles soundtrack that came with the game that you got me.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Castlevania soundtrack. I think it just has, like, a lot of rips from the Amiga version or something like that of the games.
Oh, you know what we both have? We have the anniversary soundtrack CD that came with Portal of Ruin.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
I have that and just a couple of things here and there. Like, I have a couple of things out of Smash Brothers Melee.
Smabra!
You gave me, or you let me check out one or two of the Eternal Darkness soundtrack and Ikaruga soundtrack and Metroid Prime soundtrack. And I have the Celtic Moon, the Final Fantasy IV Celtic version.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I got the Symphony from 2001. I think it's part of Dear Friends, but I don't think it was called Dear Friends at that time. Mostly like Final Fantasy stuff and... that's pretty much it. I don't really buy soundtracks or anything like that. But my favorite like soundtrack of all of them pretty much is the anything that's Final Fantasy IV related, like the Celtic Moon and
right.
The official soundtrack.
Right. Any soundtrack, Tony? No soundtrack? Not for you?
Yeah, sure. I actually recorded a lot of old music, like old NES game songs.
Uh-huh.
I think 5 tapes.
Oh, nice.
Everything from like, yeah, I had favorite developers like Capcom. Most of their games had kick-ass music.
Right.
Tecmo, Ninja Gaiden, both 1 and 2. I have songs from there. Let's see, and Sunsoft, Blaster Master.
Blaster fucking Master!
Yeah.
Wow, I love that game.
Just like a few games here and there. Later on, when I got the Genesis, I've got like the recordings from Ghouls and Ghosts, and what other games? I had some other games. There was like some fucking game that was like totally. I just kept on listening to the music on, and I don't know what that is. But one of the most obscure ones was this DOS game called Masters of Magic. It was the only DOS game that I've actually played which had stereo music and was 4 minutes long.
Oh,
and it repeated.
Shit.
Yeah, it repeated after, you know, after it played that music. And the game itself was, like, really shit. It was just, like, one little dot. It was, like, it was a dungeon crawler adventure, okay, where you played this dot. The thing is, when you came in contact with a monster, it showed, like, a picture of the monster in, like, this action box, okay? And, you know, when you fought the monster and stuff, it would just show you hit points that were, like, going back and forth and stuff like that. You know, you hit him, he counterattacks and hits you, you lose this much, he loses that much. So it was, like, very simple, but the music was just way ahead of its time. It was, like, it rivaled most of the arcade games at that time.
Mm.
And I'll never forget that. And 4 minutes long. How can you complain?
4 minutes. His second question is, how do you review stuff on iTunes? So I believe what happens is you have to have an iTunes account. Yeah. You can't just go and subscribe to the podcast. You actually have to have an account. So that's the same account that you use to buy anything. So if you buy anything off of iTunes, you just log in, and then when you get to a podcast, it just says write a review in that podcast summary page. It's right there. If you don't have an iTunes account, I guess you can't do it. I think it's free to sign up. You don't have to, like, you know, subscribe or anything. That's you only pay when you buy music. So you just sign up. And I believe Edge Buccaneer was saying that he was asked for a credit card number. So if you have no means of buying stuff online, like through a credit card or anything, then I guess you can't. But I don't know. I've seen people who I didn't think had credit cards were still able to, you know, write reviews. So that's how you write reviews. And that's it. We are running really short on time, and I have to go pee. So, housekeeping. Game Slaves Radio. GameSlaves.net. They have a podcast page. Go to it. You can also hear them on iTunes at Game Slaves. Is it Game Slaves? Yes, Game Slaves Radio on iTunes. You can also get to us on iTunes at TryGames.net. Go into the iTunes Music Store, blah, 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 blah. And don't forget to go to DrFishyPants.com. The fishiest Brian you'll ever meet. And I think if Ethan cannot be our token Jew, I will have him come in and throttle you for... What was the comment that we made? Easter? Oh, Easter, the Easter comment.
Yeah.
I'm coming in throttle you on the Easter comment. But all right, that's it for housekeeping. Anybody have any desires, comments, concerns, questions, donations?
I just want to get a work on time.
Work! Tony?
Nothing.
Okay, so for Al.
Surya!
Surya! For Tony.
You turn up work. Surya.
I have been your host, Meter Chupan Oting, and we're gone from here. Thank you very much for listening.
Iki!
What?
I'm a computer. Stop all the downloading. Help computer.
I don't know much about computers other than the one we got in my house. My mom put a couple games on there and I played.
G.I. Joe!